welcome to the Books, Beauty, and Business podcast. Our goal is to motivate and inspire others to push limits, test boundaries, and climb personal ladders of success. My name is Tawny Bro. I'll be your host. And today we're talking with Neha Nahik. She is a sleep consultant and mom entrepreneur coach right here in Houston, Texas. She's a mother of two, and let me tell you, this lady is busy. She is a serial entrepreneur. She owns four businesses. One is a seven-figure business. She is a sleep consultant, and she is the mom behind the Sleepy Cub. She is passionate about transforming those sleepless nights into a valuable resource for other parents who want to raise happy, healthy children. She also helps moms who are looking to start their own businesses, helping them to tackle those mindset roadblocks. So this is right up my alley, guys. Let's jump right in.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Books, Beauty, and Business. As I'm reading your bio, I'm actually a little fascinated by what you have done so far and where you're at, and then very interested to learn more about the Sleepy Cub. So before we get started, Neha, can you just kind of give us a little background information on how you got to where you are today?
Yeah. So thanks so much, Tawny, for having me. Thank you to the listeners who are listening in. Just super excited to be here and share my really exciting journey with you all. So yeah, I actually, started my career with a bachelor's of science in psychology and biochemistry and master's in medical sciences. I tried med school, wasn't good at it. So then I went into recruiting, which is totally random.
Wow.
But I've always been attracted to science just because of my background. Mm-hmm. And I created a seven-figure recruiting agency. And while I was doing that, as a culturally diverse mother with two young kids, once I had my firstborn, sleep was not easy. Like he had colic, he was just not a good sleeper initially. And I started reading up on this, just kind of sleep hygiene and healthy sleep behaviors. And sorry, my phone now is like talking to me. And from there, did a ton of research and started, kind of sleep training. But my sleep training journey was interesting just because I come from this diverse background. I was kind of stuck in that cultural limbo of my parents, my in-laws, my family, my society wants me to do one thing, but I want to do something else. Okay. And there was a little bit of pushback, not a little bit, there was a lot of pushback. There was just little confidence, even for my own spouse at the very beginning. And so I had to basically stand up for what I felt was right for my family and my child. And as I was doing that, I was like, gosh, there's gotta be other moms who are from diverse families who are struggling with sleep with their kids, but they don't want to instill healthy sleep hygiene because they've been told like, if you sleep train, you're selfish. If you sleep train, the baby doesn't love the mom and they feel abandoned. Like there's so many little myths and mysteries that I really wanted to like shatter those and empower women and families who come from ethnically diverse background to say, I can do this. And by me doing this, it's not a negative thing. And I'm not like a cultural outcast, and that's how I started the Sleepy Cub, just based on that notion itself.
Oh, wow. Well, that brings up like a whole lot of topics of conversation, but just to kind of continue on this. So I feel like this is kind of like a science-based thing because of your background and how you started it. And almost shocked, like sleep deprived is like the worst thing ever for a new mom, right? So to me, I would think people would be calling you saying like, help me, please, without any type of hesitation, right? But you're saying there's kind of a hesitation around that. So how did you tell me more about how this got started.
Yeah. So I think, in terms of the hesitation, what's happening is we are seeing a lot of immigrants come to the United States, right? And I think I'll tell you my story. So my parents brought me here when I was 11. Okay. And so my mom and my dad were already in their, early 40s by the time we came here. So they were very much, and to this day, they still have some beliefs that are, culturally Indian. Right. And so that being said, when I had my firstborn, it was a lot of, well, we did things this way. and our kids turned out okay, and therefore you should do them this way. But things have changed so much in the last 30 years, right? Like more women are working. We are just as responsible for bringing financial income to the household as the men. You know, in India and in some other countries, there's this concept of joint families that isn't here. Here, everything is very much nuclear. And so a lot of the responsibilities fall more on the mom to this day. And there is this notion, at least in, you know, in India, of if I do this, then I'm a horrible mom because I'm selfish. And that in and of itself kind of triggered me, because I was like, I am not selfish. If anything, I'm extremely selfless, because I am putting the needs of my child. I want them to have good sleep habits that are going to carry them through adulthood. I want them to be independent, right? We all want our kids to be independent. We want them to fly when the time comes, and sleep is part of that. And so I don't want to rock a 5 or 6 year old and or feed them. Like, I think that's a little, you know, and so because that triggered me, and because when something triggers me, I want to prove that concept wrong, and it's just how I am, I was like, I'm going to take this onus on me to kind of be the thought leader in the culturally diverse sleep training arena. Because I feel like there's a lot of moms and parents right now, you know, if they work with someone who's not culturally diverse, they may not understand their struggle, because they don't know there's joint family concepts back in the country or where they came from, right? There's in-laws and there's parents influencing their decisions. There's even next door neighbors that will say, well, I didn't do that. My kids slept with me until they went to college, right? And so it's like, oh, where do you draw the line? Yeah. And so I really wanted to be this voice of reason, this voice of support, this voice of I've been there, done that, you know, and just kind of allowing them to feel like there's a problem that I can solve because I understand it, because I've been there.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like you are like the greatest gift to new moms.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
having a good, I mean, it's hard. It's a tough one. That's tough. That's a challenging thing for all parents, I think.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, and also I read that you have started like 4 businesses. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I've started a recruiting agency, which I talked about. It's now a 7-figure business, which it's kind of been my firstborn business, my firstborn baby business. And then the second one was the Sleepy Cub, which, you know, we're talking about right now. Again, this concept came to life after I became a mom and I realized the need for it in this particular niche. The third business is a marketing agency where I basically help private practice owners with their marketing needs, because I think it's a very different niche. And then my final business is a data analytics agency where I work with companies and, you know, kind of help monitor their data, make sure that they are operationally where they need to be by using data to tell a story on what needs to be cut out or what needs to be added in so that they can reach their maximum, you know, potential for earnings.
Oh my goodness. So when do you have time to sleep?
I have an amazing team, Tani, that does a lot of this for me. I have become the queen of delegation. Mm-hmm. the last 2 or 3 years, I've ultimately realized that you can't do it all. Mm-hmm. You can't physically do it all, but you can do it all, if that makes sense, you know? And so really finding that balance of where do I come in versus where does my team come in? And learning through that mindset, you know, because I think that's different. I mean, once you get past the 6-7 figures, it's a different mindset that you're working with, right? And just knowing that, and well, actually accepting that it's actually better if you get the help you need so that you can get to the next level, and that you have to be selfish with your time is really the key to balancing the businesses, but also like getting to the next level within the businesses.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love that. That's a very inspirational story too, because I think we try to do it all, right? We try to be everything for everyone. And I love that you said you're the queen of delegating, because there is a point where you have to let go of control a little bit, right? And trust your team can do it and be able to delegate. And that's a hard lesson for some people.
It is, you know, and I mean, I'll tell you, I'm a type A personality and control is my middle name. So it was very hard for me initially, because it was literally like I was dropping my business baby off at daycare and not seeing them, right? And so I started off small. So I hired a VA, and then I hired another VA, and then I hired an OBM, and then I, you know, and then I put in the processes and had the SOPs. And now it's like, it doesn't feel as difficult. Mm-hmm. But when I was starting out, I was like, oh my gosh, what if I bring somebody else on and they're going to ruin the whole thing, right? And so there was a lot of journaling, there was a lot of mindset work, there was a lot of, you know, Voxer messages back and forth with my business coach. And it takes time, but it's not something that you can't do. And I think you have to do it to get to the next level. You know, I always joke, you know, Jeff Bezos isn't the one delivering your Amazon boxes, right? But when we think of Amazon, we think of Jeff Bezos. And so that's really kind of the mindset where you need to be, is that it is your company, it is your baby, but it's okay for other people to drive that delivery truck for you, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I love that. That is great advice too. That is great advice. Okay. So as inspiring as you are for probably your team and the people around you, where do you look for your own inspiration?
I love to read and any podcasts that's like, you know, professional growth. Mm-hmm. So I've been reading quite a bit about like, oh my gosh, what was that book called? It's right there. There's a book called You Are a Badass. So I was just reading that the other day. And it's books that really kind of motivate me, but they also look at, like, there was one that I was reading about how to make good presentations and how to sell well. And so really kind of, you know, focusing on books that allow me to become the next best version of myself. That's great. And I think really just taking the time off when needed so I can recharge, I can refresh, and also be a mom, because I don't want to work 60, 70 hour weeks and, you know, miss out on childhood. Speaking of which, mm-hmm. 2.5-year-old is now banging on the office door. And so, you know, I do want to be there for, you know, Mother's Day brunches and Thanksgiving plays and, you know, Christmas lights and all that stuff, right? I do want to be that mom too. So for me, it's super important that I am able to, you know, really work hard and prioritize what's important, but then step away. And I feel like a lot of my ideas and a lot of my kind of cool thoughts that I get come from when I step away, because I'm like, oh, I can see the big picture now, you know, because I feel like when you're siloed in, it's really hard to like take a 20,000 foot view of everything. And so that's kind of also how I recharge and refresh too.
I love that. That's such an important thing. Just coming back personally from a retreat where I was able to do that. Self-care is something that I love that you said that inspires you, because it's sometimes such a hard thing for us to get a hold of and realize that to be the best version of ourselves, we have to take care of ourselves. So I love how you're prioritizing your time to be a badass and then also a great mom, like, and really giving yourself that, kind of making those boundaries for yourself. That's awesome. Okay. So since you are in the marketing world as well, how do you market yourself and your business?
So right now, most of it is Instagram, believe it or not. I started doing reels lately, which is like a totally new concept to me. but I was like doing competitor research and, you know, my marketing person was like, you've got to do it to have the competitive edge. And I was like, oh my God, like, I don't know. So that was great. So I've been doing that. And then really just about, you know, creating like low ticket offers and then, you know, kind of creating a funnel upwards. Right. And so that's been super helpful, is like, what is something that's going to help somebody like right away? You know, I like freebies, although I'm not a huge fan of them. I feel like sometimes when you get something for free, you don't value it. So even charging somebody like $11 or $15, it kind of motivates them to do it. And so that's really how I market myself. I do lives in my group every week. I do, you know, Instagram posts. I, you know, have a course, like a DIY course for parents who want to learn how to sleep train, but don't want to do the one-on-one. And then I have a sleep certification that I've rolled out where I am certifying other moms who want to become sleep consultants, especially within the culturally diverse dynamic and families.
I love that. I love that you're growing. I love it. Sounds like at the forefront of everything is personal and professional development for you. Because I mean, that's what Books, Beauty, and Business is about, right? But you're reading the books, you're taking advice of stepping out of your comfort zone and doing these reels and putting yourself out there, which is going to pay off like for you. And as you're putting this process together, that is amazing. Okay, so since we're talking books, and I know you did mention one, do you have a book that you like to recommend?
Gosh, so many. I'm trying to think of the best one that I've liked so far. Am I allowed to curse on here?
Yes.
Okay. It's called Just Effin' Do It. Mm-hmm. It's a really cool book because it takes this concept of like, I feel like sometimes we get stuck in this like hamster wheel of perfection. Mm-hmm. And a lot of entrepreneurs don't become the next level entrepreneurs because they're so focused on how to perfect that idea that they don't start testing it out. And by the time they test it out, it's like they've spent too much time on the front end and they kind of lose the interest. And so in the book, she really just talks about, her name's Noor, she really just talks about like, just do it. You know, screw imperfection, just get on it, just do it and see what works. Now, don't be reckless, like don't spend $500,000 on a website, right? That's not what it means. Mm-hmm. But what she's saying is start doing small things so that you build up the momentum so that you can really start, you know, achieving these snowball effects, if that makes sense. Yes. And then the other book I like, again, has a curse word, is Get Rich, You Lucky Bitch. I love that one by Denise. She is hilarious. She's the queen of manifestation. And she really breaks down the rules of manifestation and how to journal. And I'm really big on manifestation. So, you know, anything about manifestation, anything about the power of universe, I bought this other book. It's called Creating Money or Creating Abundance. And it's a purple cover, but it's like literally in my, bookshelf right now. And so that's another one that I really like to read as well.
Love it. Love it. Well, I'm going to have all these, for listeners, it'll be at the bottom. You can find these great books to read so you too can, be as motivated as Neha. So, okay, let's look. Okay. What is your favorite beauty tip?
What was that? Movie tip?
Beauty.
Oh, beauty tip. Ooh, toner at night. Mm-hmm. And toner. And I love toners. Like I've recently gotten toners, and then face masks once a week. Like I feel like they've made such a big difference to me personally. And I wasn't so big on it. Like I would almost make fun of people who did that. And I've become that person because, you know, but yes, like face mask once a week. And I typically buy mine at Ulta. I have this like lotus fruit face mask. It's amazing. Like it smells delicious and it's just so good. And then toner, like toner has, I feel like really, especially in the summer now, it's really kind of made my skin more like active and not as dull. I don't know why, but I just love a good toner. I have a rose and mint toner that I got on Amazon.
Ooh, nice.
It smells really fresh.
Yes, it's just refreshing. I love toners. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I have loved this. So when it comes to your business and keeping up with everything, and as you read about, you know, successful people, they always have really good habits. So can you share any of like your daily tips for success?
Yes, I am a big believer in starting my day off with exercising. So I feel like honestly that I think exercising, and it's not just physical, there's also a mental component because you push yourself and you test your limits and you challenge your limits when you show up, right? And when you work out. And I think that has, because I have been doing that, it's diffused into my professional life as well, as long as my, you know, just parental life too. Because I feel like I challenge my kids just like I would challenge myself, and I show them how to be resilient. And, you know, at work, it's the same thing, right? Like I challenge my limits, and, you know, if I feel like I can't do it, I'm like, yes, you can. Like you did this at the gym, you could definitely do this, right? And I think that's the one thing that has really like allowed me to show up. And I think really, you know, achieve my goals, because I feel like that mindset has really carried over, and it just feels good, right? Like when you work out, you have endorphins, you can eat whatever you want and not feel guilty. Like it's just a win-win situation. And so I would say that's one of my tips. And the second tip is journal. Like journaling every day, even if it's for 5 to 10 minutes on your big goals for, I always, you know, what are my big goals for today? What are my big goals for the quarter? And then I write a letter to the universe, like, dear universe, I want this, this, and this, right? And kind of, you know, XOXO, whatever, neha. But I feel like it really allows me to, when I'm having a bad day, or if I'm having a day where things aren't going so well, it's nice to go back and read at something that happened a month ago and see how far you've come. It really allows you to see the transformation, and it really allows you to manifest what you want as well.
I love that. I love both of your tips. I think exercising is so important. And I also love the journaling aspect of it as well. And the fact that you're consistent with those two things, that's a lot of self-discipline that I can see how that rolls over for you into your work world. That's a big deal. Yep. Okay. So is there any additional motivational advice for the ladies listening?
You know, I would say that if you are in your own business, you know, don't get sucked into imposter syndrome. Everybody has their own journey. And so really be grateful for where you've been and how far you've come. I feel like a lot of times we fail to appreciate our journey and be grateful for the things that have happened. And we kind of compare where this other person is without knowing their journey. And so that's the only thing that I've started being more deliberate about. And I was, you know, very intentional about it early on, but especially now, you know, it's really important to take a step back, appreciate all you've done, because I think when you're grateful, you attract more of what you're grateful for. And so it's really important to kind of have that reflection every day. But yeah, other than that, have fun, you know, life, YOLO. So you only live once. And so it's really important to have fun with what you're doing. And if it becomes a chore, then you might need to rethink some other options.
Yes, you're right. And you only live once. I mean, we kind of joke about that, but it is so true, right? It really is. And life's too short not to be totally inspired and happy, because you create your own life.
Exactly.
I love that. So how can people find you? So if they want to get in contact with you, or they want to learn more about you, what's the best way to find you?
So the best way is, you know, honestly, the Facebook groups, but you can also email me at neha@thesleepycub.us. But you can find me on Facebook. I'm right there, and on LinkedIn. But if you need something right away, email is the best way to get a hold of me.
Excellent. We will have your contact. And don't forget, guys, go check out her new reels.
Yes. Don't forget and like them, so I feel better.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been delightful to talk to you. I feel like you are a wealth of wisdom, and you have a lot of things going on, and very, very inspirational. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Tani. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yep. Take care. Bye-bye.